All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Connor's Basement, and a special welcome to those of you watching live. That's right, this is our first ever episode recorded in front of a live studio audience on twitch.tv/Connor's Basement. Today on the podcast, we're going to be going through the Lua EP, and Jesse and I are going to get a little spicy and maybe trade a couple songs back and forth that we can discuss live. So the Lua EP, if you are aware of the discography of Bright Eyes, predates I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning. It contains 4 tracks and it came out in 2004. So we are going to break down the lyrics of this EP. And before we do so, I just want to give a shout out to our patrons, Craig and Goldie. Thanks so much for being our top tier patrons. If you want to hear your name read at the beginning of every episode, consider going to patreon.com/Connor's Basement and becoming one of our $5 patrons. With all that being said, want to jump into this episode, check us out on Instagram at Connor's Basement. And the next voice you'll be hearing will either be mine or Jesse's. We haven't thought that far ahead yet.
Oh, all right. So I was thinking, I kind of have to talk about something this episode because I woke up with this song in my head this morning I put it on and it just got me so riled up, so angry. Yeah. The oven is preheating right now. What do you think I should turn this vinyl into?
Well, we did just do digital ash in a digital urn, so some kind of like drug paraphernalia makes the most sense to me.
I can melt it down into a bong.
Yeah.
I think that takes a lot of craftsmanship. But
I believe in your ability, to be honest.
Well, I'll try to do something with it. Maybe something to freebase out of.
let's go from a little bit of marijuana to freebasing crack cocaine. Let's get it.
Yeah, that's the slippery slope that all your high school teachers warned you about.
Oh, oh boy.
Man. Oh, Chris, boy. What are we talking about today? What are we together to discuss?
Well, it's a good thing that we have like an intro before, so people aren't like completely running away. But we are going to be talking about the Lua EP, which contains a song called I Woke Up With a Song in My Head This Morning, which is why we are here. So yeah, we're going to be talking about the Lua EP, which is preceding I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, which I think inarguably is Bright Eyes' most, I'm trying to think of the right word, but like, we'll just say successful, right? Commercially successful album.
Yeah.
They have released.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably the most commercial. Well, I mean, it's probably materially the most, lucrative album they made. I think it was their only,
right.
The only thing they'd done that went gold. And I think a lot of the, I think most of the songs that that your casual listener would recognize comes from I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning. And one of those songs is on this EP, the Lua EP that we're discussing today.
The titular song, some would say.
Yes. The thing that gets the asses in the seats.
I don't know what it means, people came for. Provocative. It gets the people going. All right, we're keeping this in. Lua obviously is the song. I have a couple of notes related to this because we like to give a little bit of a history lesson. I said it in the intro, but Lua EP 2004. There are obviously a couple of cuts that fit stylistically with I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, much like the other EPs that we've covered up to this point. Every Day and Every Night, There's No Beginning to the Story, etc. So we didn't cover the Take It Easy EP, but that, when we talked about it, and we talked about it last episode, it contained Take It Easy, Love Nothing, which was on the album, a Simon Joyner cover, and then an instrumental track. So we sort of felt as though it didn't make total sense to necessarily chat about that. But because the Lua EP, there's three songs not on the album, completely original, it made more sense to like actually bring this in and kind of chat about our thoughts on these songs.
I think that, there wasn't much to really go on for the Digital Ash EP. And I don't know if Chris is going to end up agreeing with me, but even if we exclude Lua, I don't know if there's too much that we can say for this EP either. Not to get into it too much. So I felt a lot of this was straightforward, and one of the songs I know Chris and I kind of agree on. one of our opinions on one of these songs, I know that we're going to agree on. But what were you going to say, Chris?
No, I do agree. A lot of the tracks are straightforward. I did find myself a little surprised, maybe with some of the stuff that I pulled out. But I don't think this is going to kiss of death, right? I don't think this is going to take us too long. But that's
5 hours later.
Yeah, right. That's kind of why we have this plan to maybe trade a couple of songs back and forth to maybe kind of round things out here. But yeah, I guess a couple other housekeeping notes, and then we can jump right in to kind of discussing Well Whiskey. So I mentioned it before, the Digital Ash in the Digital Learn episode, but Take It Easy, Love Nothing, and Lua, I'll switch those. Lua and Take It Easy, Love Nothing respectively charted number one and number two as singles when these EPs came out. So, I mean, already there, that's a huge leap and a huge improvement for Bright Eyes. Not to say that they haven't been successful, right? They are still professional musicians making a living off of their recordings up to this point. But the fact that they had a number one and number two hit, that's huge, honestly. And I think Connor, there was some mention too in interviews too, like the band was blown away, like just so surprised. But I think we can discuss maybe a little bit more of that on I'm Wide Awake. But yeah, I guess in terms of what you're saying, that I guess that's all the history that really needs to come with this EP specifically. But yeah, I don't go back to this EP. And I say that, I know that maybe some people are going to recoil, like, how could you say that? My favorite song is on here. And that's fair. That's fine. I don't want to take that away from you. But sonically, this is not an EP that I often find myself going back to. I like country music to an extent, like certain ones, but I don't know. This isn't every day and every night for me. You know, there's no Neely O'Hara on this EP that I just want to keep injecting into my veins.
And I, by contrast, do love coming back to this EP. As much as I am, you know, as I said, I think that these songs are pretty straightforward. But in my opinion, I think Well Whiskey and I Woke Up, two really fun, raucous songs that, like, I will love blasting. I woke up with the song in my head this morning in the car and just letting Connor yell at me on my way to work.
On My Way to Work is on every day and every night. You can't take that EP away from me. Yeah.
All right. I'm not blasting that song, so I guess I'm not a real Connor fan. So again, the vacancy for the co-host is up. I mean, you know, I'm looking for my replacement.
Maybe we can hold a raffle. We'll have a raffle in our Twitch chat.
Yeah. Who wants to replace me? Who wants to break my heart and be the one to...
let's get right into Well Whiskey, because you've mentioned this along with Woke Up With This Song are bops for you. Now, the real question is, Jesse, which of us is going to kick things off on Well Whiskey? Would you like to start? Would you like me to start?
I'll start.
Damn. I'm going to take the initiative. You sounded great. All right. Better than Connor, if I'm being honest.
Oh, oof. Oof. Listen, if you ever heard me actually try to sing, I think you'd like your ears would start bleeding.
I just need to gas you up during our recording, you know, make you super confident going into it.
So I think that it's really interesting, and maybe it's just the podcast that is having me think more about this than I normally would as like just a listener. the fact that I'm listening to this with the intent to talk about it in relation to other Conor Oberst. The rest of his oeuvre. I notice a few things, and one of them is we're kind of talking about substance abuse again, but it's a lot more tame than it is in Digital Ash. But it's curious that this is during the same era, that this is almost like a, I don't know, cozier look at substance abuse, where there's just something, I don't know, hopeful about the lyrics.
Right.
There is this sense of hope, like, we're going to get through this, but at the same time, like, we're going to have fun while we're trying to get past the thing that's destroying us.
right, yeah.
There's the lyrics that deal with the withdrawal, the lack of booze or the hangover afterwards, but then paired with lines about drinking and being all cozy and warm, and it's like, yeah, there's a coziness to this and there's a hope to it, but it's also like kind of gets me to like think a bit like, huh, what's really going on here when this is being paired with Digital Ash and a Digital Urn.
Right. Yeah, I think for me, I what I wrote down is that it naturally just reads as a Conor track. Like, I'm doing this bad thing, and I know this thing is bad for me. I know it's a mistake, but it feels so good in the moment, and I'm going to keep doing it, even though I know that, like, I'm going to keep regretting it. And it's my way of, like, coping with this reality. Like, it is very classic kind of a Conor theme that he explores in a variety of different ways on the different albums. But I don't think that necessarily softens it or cheapens it. I do think it is interesting, kind of like what you're saying, as now going through as not just a listener, but a scholar, some would say.
A researcher.
You really do start to notice, like, okay, like, he's written this track before, but the way he writes it is very different. And there were some lyrics that I wanted to specifically bring out, and it's right in the beginning. Here, I'm gonna read it off. So, I know you witnessed my decline. You used to push back the darkness like a floodlight, but tonight that is a secret like the soul of a whore that if you want to have fun, you'll just have to ignore. So I think right off the bat, he's hitting you. And I just think it's really kind of clever writing in the sense of, like, you have to shut off your empathy, your humanity, to enjoy the fact that you're kind of like taking advantage in a sense of another person. Now, I don't want to get into like sex work and everything like that. Like, that's a whole other discussion outside of the foray of the podcast, but to enjoy the fact that your friend is unhealthy and hurting themselves, you have to turn off that part of you that's like, I have to just be okay with this. I have to not think about what's going on outside of this moment. The very, why don't we use the word ephemeral, right? Like, the very just like carnal, this thing that's right in front of us. Because otherwise, if you think too much, you'll start to realize this is maybe a bad move.
Yeah, you have your cake. Don't hesitate. Come on, just do it.
There is only now.
And that makes total sense. I mean, like you say, I think that line definitely felt a little weirder. being older and hopefully a little more wiser in the world.
Right.
That reference to ignoring the soul of a whore definitely, you know, gives me a bit of the yikes, just a little bit. But I get the analogy that, like, yeah, if you want to have this self-destructive behavior and you want to have fun with it, you just have to sort of ignore the consequences or morality of the situation.
Yeah, so let's not think about it too much. And in fact, let's maybe just kind of mosey our way on to the next song and just kind of pretend like nothing else has ever happened before. But I was going to say, I want you to open this one up, but you can't have all the thunder. I'm going to open this one up. So I don't know, screw you, I guess. So
what else is new, right?
Yeah, right. I do, again, this is a song, I don't think it's bad. Like, if it pops on and I'm listening to, like, one of my playlists of, like, just, like, all the Conor Oberst, I'll go through it. I got no issue. I think it is relatively straightforward, but again, I found myself with some of the lyrics being, again, this is why we do it. We get enamored with his lyrics. But I do like the idea of using a record as a metaphor for, like, a dysfunctional relationship, right? Like, one day starts, the record needle drops, and you go, and there's some scratches and hiccups along the way, kind of, and you get into this kind of, like, broken record of things are not going well. I'm not totally happy. But when the record finally ends, the needle comes up, and you hit play, and the next day starts again as you work your way through the album, and then the needle lifts, and so on and so forth, ad infinitum. And I don't know, I think it was a very interesting way to kind of explain this kind of relationship that he's having with another person.
I was reminded a little bit of Make War, only because of the fact that the song feels like it's dealing with you know, the shit that's in your ex's, like, your ex's shit lying around your apartment, and that line, yeah, like, all your possessions piled higher than a house. I don't know, I saw that connection just because of, like, the fact that, you know, what do you do with the remnants, the detritus of, the detritus, rather, of an older
relationship. What a word!
What a word! It's almost like I went to word school. I went to word college. I'm very qualified.
And we are so proud of you, baby boy.
I gotta go far.
Sorry, did you have more to go on that, or? Because I got something else I could jump in.
Yeah, jump in.
Okay. I mean, like you said, the detritus. I'm going to put that one in the back pocket, pull that out next time you've activated my trap card. So, and that kind of, like, what do you do with it? And I'm going to melt it down. I'm going to turn it into a candy bowl or an ashtray. And I was thinking about that kind of, A, melting, you know, melting a record down, because he says melt the plastic. Now, I don't know the chemical properties of what goes into making a record. Is it actually vinyl, or is this, like, some previous process, and we still call it one when it's actually made out of some kind of polyurethane hybrid blends, and it's technically a plastic? I don't know. I'm not a chemist. But why don't I even have to go on that tangent? Who knows? But you melt it down into one of these two things. And I kind of thought of the candy bowl as a symbol of making the best out of it. So, you know, you put something sweet in there and you can remember maybe some of the good times, whereas an ashtray kind of seems like the opposite. Rather than remembering the good times, you are kind of ruminating, smoking, processing the, you know, the negative stuff, like the, man, I can't believe this happened, or can you believe that one time? I can't believe this sort of thing. So they're kind of like opposites of each other.
Yeah, I think I like that duality that you just described. I think that's super cool, of, like, pointing out how ash and candy are quite different, like symbolically they're very different things, and this record sort of is emblematic of that relationship.
Right.
And it is curious, like, the whole point of this song is like a or at least the way that I interpret it is an I'm getting over you song. And yet, even in the destruction of the record, he's not getting rid of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm going to put this song on one more time, and I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to scream along and, you know, fuck you, I'm done with this. I'm going to keep the record still. Like, I think there is, like, Connor, again, Connor, the character, is having a hard time letting go of this relationship. And I think that's why there's that When You Go, Will You Glow, on and on. It kind of brings into question, there's no missing you. Like, I don't know. I don't know how much I want to believe of that. There's no missing you. That kind of sounds like you're hoping if you say it, it makes it true.
Yeah, no, that's really fair. I didn't really think of it that way. Like, at the end of the day, he still possesses this. And I mean, obviously that's true for any relationship, and it doesn't have to be romantic, but anything that ends, ultimately pieces of that stay with you, whether you are cognizant of them or they are just like repressed memories that slowly change like the way that you act, the way you behave. And it doesn't have to be in any kind of major way or like catastrophic way, but just like, huh, I'm older and a little wiser. I won't run into that same issue again, or I'm going to make sure I do this differently kind of thing. You know what? I have no idea what I was saying. Anyway, True Blue, huh, buddy? Oh. So we have a lot to say about this song. Quite a bit, I'd say, right?
I mean, I think we really tried breezing through the first two songs so that we had a good like hour and a half cushion to talk about True Blue.
So, yeah, I think I don't want to speak for you. I'll speak for me and you can agree or disagree. Mm-hmm. But I think we're about to break new ground on the podcast. I think this is the first time I'm going to say it. I do not like the song. All right, that's it. And that's the last episode of the podcast. We've lost all of our fans and they're never coming back.
Yep. Unfortunately, I am in agreement with Chris on this one. This is not one of my favorites. The Connor police are kicking down my door right now. To steal a take me away, boys.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, was it a bet? You know, like, I bet you I could say I checked there 46 times. He says the word blue in the song. Like, was this a bet? Like, I bet you I could say blue 46 times in a song.
Do you not know the story behind the song?
I do not. Please enlighten me.
Okay, so I did no research, so I may be wrong, but I'm pretty certain that Connor performed this for children's television show, which is why it sounds the way it does.
And that makes a lot of sense then.
Hold on, let's see. We're going to do live research. Connor Oberst, I think it was called like Pancake Mountain or Flapjack Mountain, something like that.
I would love a mountain of flapjacks right now. We did lose one of our patrons. So way to go.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna get legal action against me. Okay, wait, hold on. Is it here? Cake Mountain. Oh no, I accidentally looked up pancake mounting, and that's a completely different thing. I hope this doesn't awaken anything in me. Oh, Katy Perry was on Pancake Mountain.
I mean, this is cute. I mean, this is great.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I feel like I need to preface. I know sometimes I personally, like, if someone doesn't like a song that I don't like, I get really like, about it. So I just want to make sure that no one else feels that way. Like, this is not a personal thing about like, you're a bad person if you don't like, you like True Blue and we don't or something. But no, I mean, this is cute, right? What I wrote down actually in my notes was, it's kitschy, right? Like, it's a little cheesy, but it reads like a kid's song. And that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy it as a not kid. Also known as maybe an adult, but yes. it's fun, but it's a little kitschy. That's what I think the word is for me when I think about it.
I think with the context, it earns a lot more many more points for me.
I agree. Yeah, so I mean, like, now that like I have this context, I mean, not like we were going to rip into it or anything like that, but it is a nice message too. Like, you know, be authentic, be open, be honest, things will work out for the best. And that is a very different sound than we're used to from Connor. But the fact that he knows how to code switch in a sense and be like, oh, I'm singing for kids. I might not want to sing about how like life is destined for sadness and doom.
Right.
Maybe I'll sing a song about being open and things working out is the better way to go.
Right, right. And like sticking to talking about sweet things and not like, okay, I'm going to go and now do like lines of coke on the mirror in the bathroom now.
It is sweet in a sense, you know.
You know, being honest. Listen, before I start talking to this puppet, maybe if I get a little high, it'll elevate the experience for me.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're there. We're there already.
Yeah, right. So let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get our transition going. A little Anthony Fantano for you. Transition. That's the album. Did you love it? Did you hate it? What would you rate it? You're the best. You're the best. Hit the bell if you like. Please don't cry. Someone else watches Anthony Fantano and will be impressed that I did that from memory. I didn't do it perfectly, but honestly, I kind of surprised myself.
I'm impressed, and I've only seen a handful of Anthony Fantano.
Well, videos. Antoine Fantoine action.
Oh, I'm such a fake fan right now. I'm sorry.
So yeah, I mean, so True Blue changed my perspective on it. I don't know if that means I'm going to go back to it and add it to the rotation, but at least I learned something new, and maybe you all did too. And that is why you and I, Jesse, we are True Blue.
You know, I like you because you're True Blue.
Damn, it's beautiful. It's blutiful, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, that's the EP. That's it. That's the whole thing. And obviously later, Lua will come in. We'll talk about it on Wide Awake, as we discussed earlier. But, I mean, those are the four tracks. I mean, wow. I mean, what's next, Jesse?
Oh man, is that did we cover an EP in under an hour? Did we do that?
Hold on. Is it October? Did we like fall back and maybe it feels like we went faster than it because an hour got kind of. Because that doesn't seem right.
Is today daylight saving? That can't be right.
I think it must be. That's the only logical explanation, I'd say.
We can't let our dear listeners, we can't let them think that we're not going to give them a big, long, juicy episode to get them through their long day.
Thick, juicy episode.
Thick, juicy, just dripping with all of the Connor greases that you could ever slurp up and... Let slide.
Move
down
on from this one.
Abort! Abort!
Oh my god!
Well, you know, Chris, I had prepared for this. I actually made some preparations.
Okay.
I did a very nice thing. You can thank me later. You can send me flowers later if you so wish. But I broke into your apartment. And I did a thing, okay? I got you something. I need you to go down, look under your seat. Look under your seat right now.
God, I love a man who will commit a felony for me. Oh, wow. It means so much. I found a bottle of psyllium husk. Is that what you got me?
Oh, it's in the psyllium husk. You got to open it up and dig through it.
Wait, what is this? Oh. What is this inside the bottle that was definitely already in there and I didn't just shove in there? No, it's not a coupon. It says it's a song that I don't know of that we're going to be discussing.
Yes. Oh, this is flawless. We're so good at this. We're so good at this.
So what are we going to be doing, Jesse? Explain it for the folks.
So Chris and I had we had discussed previously there was a very strong possibility that we would blaze through this EP and not really have too much to say, so we figured we could make this another Mingles with Singles and share some songs and do like an on the spot analysis and just a little song swap. And yeah. For this one, yeah, for this one, we thought we'd just, you know, just pull something out. And I personally spent my whole week, like, trying to think of something fun and interesting. And instead, I'm like, why don't I just share with you a song that I've just been playing on repeat? And, you know, because I haven't been, like, expanding my borders. I've just been sort of playing the same song. Yeah, so we figured we'd just share a song. And since we were doing the stream, we could... Did we agree that we were going to play the songs?
We're going to live listen, baby.
We're going to live so listen.
If you right now, you're listening to it on the podcast and you're like, dang, I wish I was live listening. I agree. I do wish you were live listening. And next time you should join us on Twitch. Follow at Connor's Basement on Instagram so you know the next time we're going live. Go to twitch.tv/Connor's Basement. Hit follow so you know the next time we're going live. So we are going to live listen. And I think the only question is, Jesse, who's going first? Now, I believe I'm going to challenge you. So the question is, do you want the challenge, or do you want maybe a little bit of extra time to like take some deep breaths and give me the first song?
I think I am going to give you, I feel like the challenge I need to be ready for, because I'm giving you something nice and chill.
Okay. Hey, podcast friends. As we mentioned, we listened to this live on Twitch. So this is going to sound a little jarring, but the next words you'll hear are my thoughts on Jesse's song, Heartbreak by Margaret Glaspie. I like that. It's very, you know, you are an eclectic music listener, but I feel like when you showed me Raylan Baxter and like that, like it very much fits in terms of like, I feel like you are a whiskey swilling, cigar toting, like you got, you know, you're sitting in the jazz club with your broad and you just kind of enjoying the scenes of New York City and going on in the background. But none of that matters because you're here watching the singer sing and the bassist bass.
I'm gonna show you the works. As we sip our fine whiskey with my broad.
What I think I appreciate, though, about like a song like this that you throw at me, because I have a song. I think I sent it to you before, but we never really discussed it. So I'm throwing it at you again. I don't know if you ever, whatever. But like what I appreciate about this stuff is like that there isn't. After talking about like Connor and all that kind of stuff, and like you have to really break down his lyrics, like and kind of like what is he saying here, just the variance in the music that you can enjoy, like there's some cleverness here, but it's not like Connor type of writing, but that's not a bad thing, you know. That doesn't disqualify this song from being enjoyed or enjoyable or anything like that. This song has such like a rich ambiance that it makes with it of like the jazziness and her voice is just very very beautiful on top of it all. But I definitely, in terms of like lyrics that I pulled out, because obviously that's still kind of what we do and what we break down. When I was thinking of like, I'm feeling like my body's a burden or just a place to put all my pain. If not love, like the chorus, if not love, what are you serving? Heartbreak, heartbreak. And seemingly like she is talking to, you know, whoever this person is. But I started wondering too, and I started rereading and like, maybe like, I wonder if you could also direct this to like inward or like to quote unquote, the personification of your heart. Like if you aren't just going to make things easy on me in love, like then what are you serving? Are you there just to be broken? Like what is your purpose if it's just to cause me pain? So I think that's an interesting thing almost to explore. I do think ultimately she's probably talking about a person, but I don't know, there's discussion to be had there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like you could in a similar vein that you're saying, like maybe even talk about like Cupid, like
Right. Oh yeah.
If you're not dishing out love, then what are you giving? And it's like, well, it's the flip side of love is heartbreak. So like,
it's Tinder, baby.
Yeah, it's any garbage dating app. we're all suffering together, aren't we?
She's just singing about Tinder. This is
this is just about dating in the 21st century. On the topic of like talking about how, I mean, I think both of us have a pretty I would say even you more so than me have like a really eclectic range of music that we like, and especially coming from like being Connor fans, it's like, that's no surprise, because I don't know if you can, I mean, like, okay, sorry, I'm not trying to say this in a gatekeepy way, but like, I feel like it is kind of difficult to like a band like Bright Eyes without being open to different genres of music, because they do change, you know, they have a core, you know, maybe approach to music, but I think that they had just like, they do so many different things between albums that it kind of caters to the person who likes to jump around. I think that Margaret Glaspie also, if you listen, listener, viewer, you know, anybody who you know, listened to Devotion and they like what they heard, sorry, not Devotion, Heartbreak from the album Devotion. She does a lot of really interesting things within her own album. And the last album that she did, Emotions and Math, also does weird stuff too. So I think that if you like Connor Oberst sonically, you'll appreciate Margaret Glaspie, because she does interesting things even like within the album. She'll mess around with genre and do interesting things.
Yeah, that's awesome. One point going back to what you're talking about in terms of like Bright Eyes and that kind of stuff, and you know, because ultimately we are still a Connor Oberst podcast, so fill up as much time about him as possible. But I was reading that Jacobin interview that he did, and he was kind of talking, they were talking a little bit about like I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, and how like I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, but also the almost like the subversion of seeing Connor and liking his music, but then not understanding the politics behind who he is because you're so divorced from that. So like you go to a Bright Eyes show because you like First Day of My Life. You heard that and you thought it was a pretty song. And then all of a sudden you're met with the same person that wrote When the President Talks to God in the same era. And you're, because, you know, he talks about it, and just look it up. Jacobin, J-A-C-O-B-I-N. Like Connor Oberst, I think it was pretty recently that he did it, and just read through it. It was a really great interview, but they would get death threats and stuff like that after, even like, especially after the Jay Leno performance when he played When President Talks to God. I know this is quite a big digression, but it was specifically off of the point you were making about liking the different sides of Bright Eyes. And, clearly there are people that only like one, and that's totally fine. Until you start sending them death threats, then you've clearly crossed the line.
Disagreements and dislikes you can only go so far. And when you get into the threat of violence, that's where your opinion stops being very palatable, at least to my sensibilities.
Are you ready, Jesse?
Oh, I am ready. Lay it on me.
Okay, I want you to look up Rainbow Signs by Me Without You. And I'm telling you, I threw something difficult at you because I think you can handle it. There's even a verse that's in Arabic and Hebrew. So enjoy. Yeah.
All right.
I will allow you to use the Genius annotations, by the way, because there's a lot in there. Okay.
I am going to try to play on hard mode. I'm only going to use the Genius annotation for the Arabic and Hebrew for obvious reasons.
Damn, he's doing it. Another small aside from editing, Chris, we've just finished our live listen to the song and are transitioning into our thoughts.
Oh, man. Oh. Oh. Every time, man. Every friggin' time.
Yeah, very different from my song.
Very, just a bit,
just a bit, just a little bit.
Now
I did thoroughly enjoy it.
Can you guess why specifically I wanted to send you this song? There's a specific reference or lyric that you reacted to immediately when you saw it too, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I don't know if I don't want to steal, I don't want to like, I don't want to disappoint you, but I don't know if don't, I picked up on it. You could
never disappoint me. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I don't, I'm sure once you say it, I'll be like, oh, I should have done.
Yeah, there was a reference to an author, I believe you very much like.
Oh, then I missed it. Then I totally missed the lyrics.
Oh.
Let's see.
I don't know it, but when I was reading the Genius annotation, someone else knew it. And I was like, oh, that's Jesse's guy.
Oh, God. All right. So I'm missing a Joyce reference here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I missed it. Where is it?
According to this, it says Parable of Plums from the Olive Screw is a James Joyce reference.
Let's see. Hold on. I got to look at this because that sounded familiar, but I completely
missed it. And I saw you react a little bit, and so I didn't know if like you connected, but.
Yeah, the Parable of the Plums, which, yeah. Because I'm like, I was like, that sounds biblical, but it does, I don't remember anything like that. But then it's like,
yeah.
That's,
they're taking your degree away.
Yeah, that's, oh no. Chris, can we take the VOD down? Because, if they find out, they're gonna rip up my paper. All right, yeah, so there's a lot to talk about on this one.
I'm excited. Lay it on me.
So I am curious. This, just lyrically, this reminds me of La Dispute.
Yeah.
Exactly. In that there's just so much, like, very, very elegantly woven in such a short amount of time, which is really impressive. So I'm assuming this album has a theme of pre-apocalypse or apocalypse just by the nature of like pale horses. I can't help but think of one of the riders of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And there is a lot of interesting biblical connections that are that I make in the song, and I find the line, God gave Noah the rainbow sign, no more water is the H-bomb next time. Like, holy shit. What a fucking line.
I know, right?
That is definitely heavy.
It's heavy, right?
And I'm curious, like, I don't know any, because I think you've referenced this artist to me before, but I don't know anything about this person, or this band, but I am kind of curious, because obviously, if you just wanted to give a cursory look at this, it is just kind of about the end of the world and evoking these like epic biblical stories about the end of the world in a pretty kick-ass song. But now I'm starting to think, like, is the apocalypse the doldrums of getting older? Because there's these interesting lines where what is it, it's towards the end where hold on where is it, I'm navigating a new song here and a very involved one, where he talks about like standing in his, he turns into his father, but here, the other night I dreamt I was finally out of college. In my own pair of sandals, I turned into my father, whistling our tune about the Rio Grande, and then at the top of the song, there's that line about pale horse vows in a grave. I do, yes, definitely. Smile for the camera at the church nearby, and I'm getting this like almost like I'm growing up, I'm getting married, I'm having responsibilities, and I'm becoming my father. And there's so much to unpack that I'm sure I'm probably botching this.
So the opening track, this mirrors, right? The opening track starts with pale horse songs of a slow decline, sideshow words. If the boys don't mind in the track in the beginning. And this was, I believe at the time, going to be their last album, or at least there was those rumblings of this was it, like. They then ended up releasing one more after this, and they said they're done making music. So I think a lot of the themes on this had to do with like a you know, these sideshow words, if the songs don't mind, if our moms don't mind, if our boys, if the boys don't mind, of like,
right,
this is it. Like, we're putting this out and we're going to fade off. And the I'm getting married, I'm noticing my fucked up hairline. I love that line. Yeah. My Napoleon of St. Helena hairline is so good. And so I 100% agree with you there about it being kind of like a 100% apocalyptic, but also kind of mimicking it or tying it in with just growing up and like change and like what happens after that.
Which is, in a sense, apocalyptic, right? Like one part of your life is destroyed.
Yeah.
But like out of destruction comes something new, hopefully, in theory, right? Doors closing and others opening. yeah, I feel like I can't really say too much because it definitely, the song is one of those ones that would definitely tickle my brain for a long time as far as like looking for all of that, like mythological, biblical, all of those references, while also trying to connect it back to, you know, as we do on this podcast, like trying to find the deeper meaning behind what on the surface looks pretty straightforward.
And that was 100%. That was 100% my goal. Like I did not expect you to be like, oh yeah, I mean, this is relatively simple. Like obviously, when he's talking about the imperial crowns, this is a reference to, but there, this is like a definitely a really dense song. I'm impressed in terms of like what you picked out of it, even on a cursory glance. The band is fantastic. I mean, lyrically, amazing writer. You mentioned La Dispute as well. I definitely flirted with throwing a La Dispute song in there, but I specifically, I was like, no, I've got to do this song. But this, and so the album Brother Sister is one I think I spend the most time listening to, is also really, really great. But yeah, it's a little bit more of heavier, like post-hardcore. So like viewers, listeners, like maybe that's not your thing. That's totally fine. But I feel like I hope there are Me Without You fans out there willing to create a podcast where they talk about Aaron Weiss's music. In the context of who he, I would listen to that because it is so dense. It's so good.
Yeah, I was expecting like something interesting to be sure. I wasn't expecting like this level of intensity, and I'm here for it.
For sure. When I thought about La Dispute, I was like, there are definitely tracks that I could pick, but the way Jordan Dreher writes are, they're like narratives, right? They're stories, and he like writes really beautifully, but there's not much to uncover because it's like you're reading a short story. So you're more encaptured by the metaphors that he's coming up with or the way he says something rather than trying to figure it out. Because obviously the point of a story is you should know what's going on, and yeah, it's right. The flowery language that makes it what it is. So yeah, I'm impressed in terms of like what you saw and like what you picked out of it. This was an exercise in trying to wade through that more so than I expected you to come out with the perfect breakdown of what this means in the context of the album and everything.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna explore the rest of the album now because I'm curious, like, where, like, I don't know. I would also try to look for like a PDF of like the album insert because that feels like,
oh yeah,
what is it? I don't know if you or any of the listeners or viewers had listened to "I Am Gemini" by Cursive. So "I Am Gemini" was a concept album by Cursive, where if you didn't have the album insert, you were missing like a lot of key information. Like the lyrics of the song are dialogue for a play, And if you don't have the lyric book, you actually miss the stage directions that are not musical. Like, they're not, like, sung.
That's really cool.
It's super cool. One day when I actually remember to bring my records home from my parents' house, I'll show everybody. It's pretty cool. One day I'll remember.
Yeah. Well, listeners, viewers, check out Margaret Glaspie. Check out Me Without You. Check out La Dispute, just because they're one of my top five bands anyway. So I have to
little known band.
Check out Bright Eyes. we do a podcast about them. Yeah, yeah. We do a podcast about it. So they're pretty cool. If you didn't get to listen to them live, well, that means next time, check us out on twitch.tv/Connor's Basement and follow us on Instagram at Connor's Basement so you know the next time we are doing a live stream. But this was, like, super fun.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I felt like I was kind of more on. I felt we were, like, cognizant of, like, okay, well, there are people watching. It's like, like, okay, we're having company over, so you can't be fucking weird right now. So can you, like, focus on the podcast?
Right.
It kept us on our A game, which was pretty great.
But I hope everyone in the Twitch chat enjoyed it for sure. We'll do more of this. I don't know, like, maybe the next time we do sort of, like, a mini episode like this. I mean, it's hard to call it mini. It always ends up being the same, but, like, an EP episode or something like that. I mean, Four Winds EP would be next after I'm Wide Awake, you know? So, but maybe as we get more comfortable with the whole streaming thing, maybe we could even branch out a little bit more. But yeah, this is sick. Tonight, here's a goddamn ending. Goddamn people.
Tonight!
I mean, maybe the live outro doesn't work as well as we thought it might.
No, I don't think it would.
Thanks so much for listening. Already kind of shouted out the Instagram and everything like that. Hope you do watch, and hope you enjoyed watching, listening, all that kind of stuff. Shouting out our patrons, this list is getting longer, huh?
Super exciting, ready?
Okay, so thank you so much to Julia, to Craig, to Steven, to Eric, to Goldie, to Lad. Thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. Like I kind of said it in the beginning, we would do this to an empty audience. The fact that there are people here just means so much more. And the fact that you would give your hard-earned money to support us is the only reason we're taking you suckers for all you're worth. So we appreciate it.
Thank you from the bottom of your wallets. I mean, from the bottom of our hearts. No, thank you. It like Chris said, we would absolutely be doing this no matter what the circumstances, but your support helps us make it that much easier and just have things, you know, so much more smoothly roll out. So we appreciate you. Thank you so much.